Hi, this is Dennis Leary, and you are listening to the mellifluous tones of... Fuck. Hi, this is Dennis... I'm doing it, I'm fucking... Hi, this is Dennis Leary. Hi, this is Dennis Leary, and you are listening to the wonderful, fabulous, incredible Robert Kelly on... Fuck. What's the name of it? You know what, dude? Podcast on gloryhole.com, on gloryholeradio.com. You know what, dude?
Hey, what's up? This is Robert Kelly with another episode, a very special episode of You Know What, Dude. I got two fucking legends. I can't believe I'm actually doing a podcast. These guys said yes. Lenny Clark and Kenny Rogerson are in the room right now doing the You Know What, Dude podcast, which is crazy.
On gloryholeradio.com.
I can fucking get it now.
Well, you know, and when you clap three times, that's the most clap I'll ever get.
Yeah, clap on.
Well, you guys are fucking, I mean, this is crazy for me to be on this tour, you know, because you guys are fucking legends.
Because we're still alive. Live, you mean?
You were great the other night, man. You burnt the room down.
Yeah.
But it's crazy for me to hang out with you guys. I mean, Lenny and both of you guys, coming up in Boston, I was, you know, you guys were fucking legends. And now I'm actually on a show with you.
70 years of radio, and we're in a room with no windows.
35 years of the comedy, we got some cheese.
Yeah, and cold cuts.
But how long have you been doing comedy, Lenny?
35 years.
How long have you been doing comedy?
35, maybe a little more. When did you start?
I don't know. 35 years ago.
78.
How many years ago was that?
I don't know.
Do the math.
Fuck you. I got the title right. That's the best I can do for you. More than we're both about the same.
Yeah. Well, a lot of time. A long, long time.
So you guys have been doing it a long time.
Long time.
And you guys started back in Boston.
Yeah.
I started in Chicago.
You started, are you from Chicago?
No, I'm from Connecticut, but I had some problems with the Army and I had to leave town. Shut up.
Deserter.
I got out. They let me out.
Deserter.
Yeah, it's okay. Not AWOL's not the same as deserting.
No, it's not.
Deserting, you leave, you run away. I take my stuff and left. But anyway, I started out in Chicago with Emo and...
Did you really desert the Army?
Yeah, AWOL, not the same thing.
Was that the Vietnam War?
No, I was after that. I was the National Guard.
You were in the National Guard.
You would have deserted.
Well, you know, they wanted me to stay as long as I'd signed on for, and the discussion had come to a standstill, and I thought best if I leave town.
So you started in Chicago.
Yeah,
comedy.
I checked out Chicago. I had a friend go to Northwestern, and I started up at Zany's.
At Zany's, that's still around.
Zany's is just, I just was out there.
Really?
Yep, still going there.
And what made
so I'm evidently not going to make it at all.
But what made you come back to Boston?
A guy named Barry Crimmins said, you ought to come to Boston. We'll pay you money to do this. And really? I said, okay, I'll come out. And I met this guy, Tommy Sledge. He said, you're going to Boston. I said, yeah. He goes, you're never coming back to Chicago. I said, why do you say? He says, well, you know how you and John Campanaro like to drink? And Jim Fay? I go, yeah. He goes, everybody in Boston drinks like that. And I thought, this guy's full of fucking shit. And I arrived and I went, oh my God, he wasn't lying.
Hello, new boy.
Can I tell him the quick story about when I met you? Well, I fucking couldn't stand him.
You didn't like Lenny when you met him?
I thought he was a big phony motherfucker. He comes up to me after my show. He goes, oh my God, you're fantastic. You can do much. I'm going, who is this phony motherfucking showbiz asshole? About 25 minutes later, I go outside to have a cigarette and I hear smash. I look over. He's got a joint in one hand. He's got a beer and he's taking bricks and throwing them through the windows of the construction trailer. And he hands me a joint. He goes, smoke this and throw one of these. You'll have a ball. And I thought, oh yes, I'm going to be friends with this man. That was 35 years ago.
For real?
That's a true story.
And then he moved into the house.
Yeah, I moved into the barracks.
The barracks is from the movie when Stand Up Stood Up, right?
Right. And,
Putnam Ave.
Was it your place?
Well, me and my brother Mike. We had a place. We had 15 comedians living there, and the rent was $165 a month.
We never had it. And the guy, the Asian guy next door, Wing Wong, where the rent? I go, you know what? Wing Lenny has it, and he is in Bermuda. I told that son of a bitch to put that thing in your mailbox.
There was 15 of you in one house.
Well, everybody, almost every comic that we liked in Boston had a key to the place. Right. There were
10 keys under the mat. For if you're out of town comic, you need a place to stay.
My friend Danny Sturz came to town one time. He's in a cab. He goes, "Oh fuck, I lost the key." And the cab driver goes, "Don't worry, I got one."
Yeah, Trigger Burke. True story. Trigger Burke was the cab driver. Let him in.
Yeah. We got a tank of helium in one corner of the living room. That's how we started our mornings.
How did you start comedy, Lenny?
Let me see. Oh, I was working as a janitor at City Hall, and I took all the other janitors out for dinner, you know, to get them drunk, because then I wouldn't have to do my job. And we went into the Springfield Street Saloon, and it was a comedian. Steve Sweeney was on. Another comedian, Bill Campbell. And these guys saw Bill Campbell and said, "You're fucking funny, him. You could do that." And so I did, and then I got hooked, and I started going back every week.
Yeah, but first you were the wizard.
Oh, yeah.
He used to juggle money. He had a turban he would wear with a cape, and he would juggle money. This was one of his big clubs. I'm not kidding you. Yeah, I still have his album.
I did a ventriloquist.
I can get you a case of them, by the way, if you need one. They weren't a big seller.
I did a ventriloquist act. What'd you do? A skeleton.
Say that again. What'd you do?
A ventriloquist.
Yeah, there you go. Ventriloquist. It's like a guy with a puppet, ventriloquism.
And I'd make him drink water. You know, and it would be all over my pants. And I remember the Grand Wizard of Wrestling. Well, I became the Grand Wizard of Comedy, and I used to juggle money, and it was.
Yeah.
It was bad. It was real bad.
Did you kill with it, though?
No, not at all.
That's what made it funny for us. Yeah. It was horrible. I used to greet him. This is how we would let each other. That's the Ding Ho days. Yeah. If I was on stage, he would go behind the bar and get a beer glass and throw it off the wall behind me and go, "Oh, Lenny's here." That's how the other one know that we were in the room.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Smash a glass off the wall behind him while they were working.
Were there any girl comedians back then?
There was Paula Poundstone, Lauren Dombrowski.
Lauren Dombrowski,
who just passed away a little while ago.
Who went on to become executive producer of Mad TV.
Oh, no shit.
She was wickedly funny. She passed away a little while ago.
We loved her, and she was
hilarious.
Dennis's girlfriend.
Laura Keitlinger was around for a while. She was on Saturday Night Live and then was a producer on Will and Grace.
Yeah.
So they've all gone much farther than me. This is like the best thing I've done in 10 years.
Yeah, but you got Lenny, you never had a nickname, right?
No.
You have a nickname.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, it's the Viper. How did you get the Viper?
I wish it was a funnier story, but I was doing a local TV show with Mike McDonald called Party at Mike's Treehouse. And I think I probably was hung over and looking for Coke, and there was no wine in my dressing room, and I was furious. And somebody said something about chain whipping a nun. And George McDonald goes, "You're like a coiled viper tonight."
Yes.
And Mike McDonald brought me on stage in the show that night as the Viper, and that's just stuck. I'd chain whip a nun if that fucking wine doesn't get here. And that was being the Viper.
This is weird though, because I came up with like Patrice, Billy Burr, Dane Cook. None of us drank.
No, I was already sober.
We laid a nice example for you guys. You looked at me and went, "Oh, I don't want to be like that.
Oh, geez.
I want to be successful."
We would stay. The Ding would close. The Ding Ho, which is a famous Chinese restaurant, everyone gets to start. And the Ding would close was supposed to close at 1. We'd go to 2, and the cops would come, and then we'd lock up and have the cops drink with us and everything. And we would stay all night, play cards and drugs, and just, we're insane. And a lot of us, we didn't care, because we drank everywhere for
they
free.
Gave us money.
They gave us money, and we were just
like phenomenal.
And we were wild. It was like guys who didn't get laid in high school and now fucking everything, you know. And it was just
literally everything.
Yeah, I mean everything.
I'm talking about things that weren't even moving.
We picked up these two chicks called the Moose Sisters.
The Moose Twins.
I think we met them in the Bahamas.
You brought them back.
They fucked everyone, and they cleaned the house.
Yeah, I'm not kidding you. They defrosted our fridge, and they would blow you. Yeah. It was fucking beautiful. Yeah.
And if I ever met them, I would buy them flowers.
You wouldn't know what they looked like. You never saw anything but the top of their head.
Yeah, but they seem nice. They were
We had a special room
upstairs.
One
is dead. One has to be dead.
No.
Well, they don't have to be, but it could be. We had a room upstairs.
It's called
the sperm room.
That was his room.
It was just a room. It was big enough just for a mattress. I did not. I slept on a couch downstairs. The sperm was for emergency. But everyone went up there to fuck.
I remember one night I went by an
emergency. If you couldn't find someone else's bedroom. First of all, Mike wouldn't let us in his bedroom. He had a real bedroom.
Mike had a beautiful bedroom.
He had buckets of vomit in his room.
But I was on the first floor. I didn't like to walk.
But you had
I had a porch. I had a porch with a window that you could walk out after if you needed to.
But you had a bucket in your room.
Yes, he did. A 5-gallon Dunkin' Donuts pail. that had like jelly in it or something. I remember when he had his show, kids would come, we want to get Lenny's autograph. Let me see if he's in Children. And I'd go in, he'd be lying there. It'd be puke everywhere in his head. He'd be in a bucket. I'd go, yes, I'll get Mr. Clark to sign those up. And I would just sign them and hand them to him. They'd go away happy.
People would come by.
But I blocked. You know, he would have had a bad reputation or worse.
People would come by. And when you leave, it's a, don't forget to take your complimentary box of Lenny albums. Evidently, I made an album. And,
you have an album?
Yeah.
Well, there's none left. But
life sucks. I still have two copies of it.
He would give people
anybody
cases,
from the Inquirer that would like to make some
of my albums.
Oh, yeah. Would you like a box?
And then I got a TV show. I was Lenny Clark's
Late Show.
Lenny Clark's Late Show on TV 38.
Like Ed Wood movies.
Hosted bad movies like Elvira, you know. And it ran as long as you had material. I mean, we would come on after the Bruins game or after the Red Sox game, and we would go until we run out of stuff. Everyone was on the show. Goldwaite and Steve Wright.
Everybody.
He was like one of the head writers on it, and Marty Olson. Anyone who was at my show that night.
Basically, anybody who could come up with something we could do could be on the show.
I remember one night we were so high, everyone said they're going to come with me.
No, it wasn't we.
Yeah, we. And then no one would come. I said, you fucking bats, I got to go do the show. You know, and I had no material, nothing. So I went. And I usually was pretty good. Take one, take two, take three. I was like, take 18. And the guy says, Lenny, are you wired? And I says, well, I'm not going to lie to you. I was doing coke all night. No, no. Are you wired for sound?
It was
all over the whole fucking station.
Yeah,
was
he
terrible.
Was in the bathroom one time doing lines. And he had lavalier mic on. And it's coming through the studio. I walk in and go, Lenny, you're live. He goes, oh, shit.
Jesus. I'm sick.
Oh, here's this here. Oh, that fucking burns.
How many years did this shit go on, though? How many years did you guys stand that out?
Oh, God.
Too many, Bobby.
I've been sober. I'm sober coming up on 15 years. And I got sober once for like 13 months, and then I went out for 18 years.
I get sober 11 months.
Yeah, because I get sober after you get sober. When you broke down the door one night.
Well, I didn't have a key.
Yeah, so well, under the mat. Under the mat.
Who wants to bend down?
And then
you just smash the door open.
Then I went to a meeting, and I just kept going, and then I got sober. Then I went crazy, and I was out for 18 years. And you know, it's all a blur. You know, I mean, I made that movie when Stand Up stood out, and Steve Martin said to me, "So, what was the most impressive thing about that movie?" I go, "The fact that they filmed it. I didn't know the cameras were there."
Because, you know, back then, cameras were like the size of a fucking coffee table. You know, the video
huge.
Cameras, they were huge.
Yeah.
And I was watching a movie going, who had a camera in the dressing room? I don't remember that.
Yeah, it wasn't
like a little, you can video with your phone now. This was like a fucking huge thing.
Yeah.
With the mic.
And we would work every single night, sometimes 6-7 shows a night. I mean, it was the height of comedy, and every place was opening. You know, like Joey Subs in comedy. I mean, fucking pizza's place. Every place was opening with comedy.
Well, there was three shows. Your brother had, what was that, Jokers.
Right.
There was Jokers, Comedy Connection, and Nick's were all on the same street, and every Saturday night, they were all sold out.
Everyone.
And I would do all three of those. I'd do three at Nick's, three at the Connection, and two at Jokers, and then go over to I do sometimes nine shows.
Every
night.
On
the weekends.
On the weekends.
But I worked every night, Monday through Sunday, every night.
And we always had cash.
What year was this?
80-something.
Yeah, it was.
I left Chicago in 80 or 81.
And he never went back. I mean, he went back to work every now.
I went
never
back to get my stuff, but most of it had been stolen by my heroin addict roommates. So. Yeah.
But they don't have. I mean, like you hear these stories, and like, look, me, I came up with Cool Guys,
right?
And we came up in like a second boom of Boston when Nick's was back. They were doing Up and Down.
Right.
Charles Street was down the street, and Dick was around the corner, and we'd run around and do all these shows. But you know, it's not. And we hung out, and we did that shit, and we banged broads, and none of us drank, but we fucking made up for it in pussy. But
yeah, I wish I could go back
and get what you guys did was I mean, they don't do comics don't do that anymore.
Oh,
well, comics don't hang out.
And I don't recommend it.
I know, we're all
sober now, and I look back, and if I go back, I would change a lot. My father once said to me, I wouldn't change a thing, and I thought I would change so much.
I would change so much.
I wish I'd never discovered fucking cocaine.
I mean, I really do.
You
know, they said that Dick Grass was a gateway drug, and I said, you're full of shit. And once again, I was wrong. And I mean, we did everything. We did every drug you could do, and it. And
lots
shit.
Of it. I personally spent, I'm guessing, between $3.5 million on cocaine, and I'm not even famous.
He's not even exaggerating.
That's $1,000 500 times in 30
years. I was frugal, so I had friends with coke dealers.
You had people who were sycophants who gave you coke, and I would go, let's get the fuck out of here. I'd rather buy it than hang with it. No, he's giving it to us for free. This guy gets more excited. If you give him a free hat in his dressing room, he's happy for 2 weeks. I got a box of free hats in my dressing room.
Well, I ended up marrying my coke dealer, which was bad. I didn't think that through. And she was...
I don't know. Can we say anything on the show?
Anything you
she
fucking
was
want.
A cunt.
Yeah,
you can say
that. But I, you know, I forgive her.
Go ahead. I don't have to.
Yeah. No, you don't.
Because I had to sit and do coke. He could do coke with her, but he couldn't drink beer. And I'd be going, all right, I won't drink because you're not. And I'd be going, this
she was beautiful. She was beautiful.
Yes, she was.
Gorgeous. Drop dead Playboy model.
She was in Playboy.
She was Playboy model. Really?
Yeah, what was she was in that one of those college chicks of Playboy. You know, they went around to wherever she went to college. She was gorgeous. But
you guys were you guys were famous. I mean, especially.
I wasn't so. He was.
But in Boston.
No, you were.
In Boston. You were fucking famous. You were the guys.
Well, you know what? We're like fucking.
Exactly. And when Kenny went on the road, his act was so good. You were probably the highest paid.
I went on the road because I liked it. I didn't have to. I could have made fucking $2,000 a week on the weekend just working Boston. I went on the road because it was fucking fun. It was more women.
Back in those days, we got cash. You know what I mean?
You didn't get paid checks.
There wasn't check shit.
We didn't know what that was.
We had people who couldn't speak a lick of English paying us.
Say that again.
Speak
along with ventriloquist, please.
He was racist and a racist. A spick of English.
No. It was just. I remember I went on the road once for 13 weeks.
He knows you already.
Because I broke up with Carol. You
know, Carol with the overbite?
Yeah. I broke
this
up
chick could car an apple.
And rather than
she
go
was
home,
like that thing on the fucking jet.
She was hot, though. She
can
was
she
hot.
Car an apple, oh, chef of the future? Yeah. Yes, she can.
So rather than go home to her, I went on the road. And I just, oh, God, it was insane. And because you could go on the road for as long as you wanted.
Well, the punchline chain had 12 weeks a year. You could work just for
the punchline. And the funny bone had a bunch of chains.
I didn't have to leave the Eastern Seaboard to fucking. I worked from Florida up to fucking Boston or up to Atlanta just for the punchline.
I mean, you guys did all this drugs and all that crazy shit. Looking back now, we're sober. We all got our shit together. Right. But, I mean, that must have been fucking fun.
Oh, well,
it was
fun.
A lot of laughs, but it never once, in all the times I did blow and drank, and I never once did it ever end up fun for me, because I was the one who could never go to sleep. He would take a 5 milligram Valium, look like a fucking rhino shot in a nature movie. He'd start staggering. I go, oh, sit down before you fall on someone. I'd take 20 of them, and I'd still be up drinking straight vodka.
Plus, I had a habit of going from like 190 pounds to 300 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
Back to, like,
he was like Elvis. At one point, I think he had Elvis in him. He ate some of Elvis.
I mean, it was insane.
It really was creepy.
And it was, like he said, it was, there were a lot of laughs, Bobby, but I got to tell you, it's not good. I would, you know, if the young comics listen, don't do it that way.
You don't need it. Really.
And it held a lot of us back, you know. There were times when we'd get close and we would fucking sabotage our own careers.
There's a reason
you've
never heard.
Career, you think?
Oh, God.
There's
the
reason I've never been heard from.
Yeah.
It's absolutely.
Yeah. Well, people know.
He would get high and smash into doors in the producer's office. I would get high and go, well, I'll call that guy tomorrow. And then tomorrow would never come because I wouldn't go to bed for 3 weeks.
Yeah. So it definitely, you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, I'm having more fun now I like doing stand up now than I ever did in the 80s.
Yeah.
I actually enjoy. I can't wait to get up there. That's the rest of it that sucks. In the old days, the hotels and the money, that just, the stand up just paid for the part that went on around it.
Right.
Yeah. You know, that was like that was the sprinkles. The best of it was the ice cream.
I mean, it was great because you'd get on a jet and you'd go to a town you'd never been before. And
they'd pick you up in a limo.
They'd pick you up and you'd get high.
They always had a Coke dealer who worked there.
And always had fucking hot waitresses and, you know, and it was, you were going to get paid, you're going to get laid, and you're going to have fun, you're going to get high, and you're going to meet new people.
But the thing is, I don't have any
of
those memories.
Good CD.
No. I don't have any of those memories. Someone said, well, at least you have the memories. I go, that's the thing.
No,
I don't. There's
no.
25 years of my life that is really like a fucking blank slate.
Oh, and I was a blackout drinker from day one.
All right, let me ask you a question.
You were terrible. I couldn't be with them.
What's the, out of all this, not now, but then, what was the greatest show or showbiz moment that you had? You know, like, we always have this thing, like, with me, when I got Torgasm with Dane and I found out it was going to be on HBO, I was like, holy fuck. Like, what was the greatest moment?
I did Letterman in 83.
That was huge.
That was huge. But that's the last thing he said to me was, you were a very funny young man, which tells you how long ago that was, and we'll have you back. I should have nailed him down to a millennium.
Right, he never had you back?
No,
they've colorized it.
They've colorized that letter. They colorized my letter.
What was you?
Mine was the Rodney Dangerfield special on HBO. And it was amazing because my brother Mike was in L.A., and he had said to me, you know, Rodney's auditioning people. I went up to Rodney. I said, Rodney, will you take a look at me? He says, kid, I just seen 1,500 comedians the last couple of weeks. You know, I'm going to go home and get blown. I can't see. You know, what do you say to a guy?
So offer Mike to says, blow him. So he says, you know what he's doing.
Mike says, ask him if you can go to New York. I said, could I come to New York? He goes, if you come to New York Monday night, I'll take a look at you. So I flew back to the coast, met Mike. We got on a train, went down there, and went in. And it was almost all set. He was looking at a few more people. I went in and had a great fucking set, and he hired me on the spot.
No shit.
And from there, one thing led to another, and then I ended up getting my own show on CBS.
Wow.
You know, I mean, I got discovered in Montreal, but not so much for my stage performance as for my schmoozing performance.
Oh, yeah, he's like the master.
I mean, there were stories I can't tell because there's still a few people that are alive that were involved with it. But, you know, I went from basically a nightclub comic to a $1 million contract in a matter of weeks. And it was, we're going to name the show after you. And the show came on, it was a big hit. It was like a top 20 show on CBS, highest rating since All in the Family. And, then the war broke out. The first Gulf War broke out. Lenny will not be seen tonight, so we can bring in the war in the Gulf. And then from there, the show got canceled. You know, I got divorced. I lost the marriage.
You blamed it on the Gulf, but if you were really funny, they would have kept you on.
No, the show was funny. The show was funny. We had good writers. But,
they wouldn't have shown the canceled war. If you were better, they wouldn't have shown the war.
They canceled every show on TV after
they
the
did.
War
started. Johnny Caponeri had
Cheers
a show.
Was done.
Cheers. Yeah. It only ran 15 more years.
Mash,
that was it.
Mash over.
Gone.
Mash. Hogan's
but
Heroes.
They did they moved it around because Caponeri had a show. What was it? The good Drew Carey's got it. Oh, yeah.
Drew Carey,
but
Marty
that got
Hoffman.
Canceled too
that
because they really did. I mean, they moved the show like three times. It was a funny show.
What was besides your show getting canceled and all that stuff? What's the worst show experience that you guys had? Like, you know. Like, I got booed at the old Boston Garden. Me, Dane, and this kid Alan and Jay Hall did an improv when we first started. And what's his name? Mark Parento, BCN.
Right, yeah. Mark was very good to me.
He's very good to a lot of people, especially little kids in Washington, D.C., if you like Sony PlayStations.
Oh, my God.
I always wondered why he drove a big wheel. Yeah, never could I figure that out.
He liked your hairless legs.
We used to do his show, Comedy 5 After 5.
He
did his show. You sold out no matter where you were.
Right, yeah.
Sold out. So
he
one
was
night,
afraid of me, though.
One day, I picked up Kenny, and I said, come on, man, we'll go over and we'll meet David Byrne. I think he was there. But we went over, and Kenny had a starter's pistol. We're driving around Boston. He's shooting a starter's pistol at people. And we go into the radio station.
I like the noise. What can I tell you?
He said something, and the starter pistol fell out of
Kenny's. No. He said, oh, we're going to wrap it up. And I took the pistol out, and I put it on the counter. He goes, no, we're not. And he looks at Lenny. He goes, what the is that?
And
he goes,
live
don't worry
radio.
About it. Don't worry. He won't hurt anybody with it.
I was getting it. And then we became friends, you know, I mean, and it really just propelled us even more, you know, because we were selling out everywhere we went.
Yeah.
And but my worst gig, there are so many bad
many
ones
remember.
That stand up. It was the night Aerosmith used to come and see us all the time.
Really?
Kenny knew who they were. I didn't know who they were, but they were in the show at the Paradise every fucking
week. Yeah, he didn't know who Aerosmith was. He grew up in Boston.
I was at the disco. Because, you know, if you could dance, you could get laid.
You like disco?
I did.
He used to have the
worst music
collection of any fucking grown
years
man.
Years old. Come on, disco was hot at one time. You can't get fucked. Danny Terry wanted to fuck me. So now, these guys asked me to open for them, and I go, yeah. And he goes, you're going to open? That's fucking right. So I went in. And I mean, I walked in with the people, and the people saying, "Hey, I heard there's a comedian tonight. We're gonna fuck him up," you know. And this was at the Orpheum, and they put up runway lights, and fucking it was amazing. And they hated me; they're booing me, throwing shit at
bouncing
me.
Off the
and they threw a fucking milk that hit me in the nuts, dropped me to my fucking knees, and I hear laughter like that. It was Steven Tyler. They pulled me through the curtain. He goes, "How much am I giving you?" He goes, $1,000. He goes, "Here's two. Come back tomorrow night." So I went back the next night. You fucking Rolling Stones suck my cock. Was the greatest? I go, "I was with you." You want to go to Japan? When I say, no, not even a little bit. But it was fucking good. That was bad.
Mine was the fucking Dennis's thing. That was the late 90s. Oh. Comics Come Home.
I blanked that out.
Comics Come Home.
Yeah, well, this one, I showed up and I drank a bottle of rum. And I was talking to you backstage. And he goes, what happened? I walked on the stage and I couldn't talk. I was like,
people thought he was fucking right.
And I'm going, fuck you, people, you fucking cocks, fuck you. And I look over at Dennett, and he's giving me the cut sign, and I go, I'm not getting off now. I got them right where I want them. And I got a big laugh. And as soon as I turned back, I couldn't fucking talk again. It was in all the 3,500 fucking people in the clip. Everybody on the radio.
Was that when they were recording it?
No. Thank God.
That'd be great to watch now.
Well, for you.
Well, for us too. You would. That'd be.
I wouldn't want to see it. It was a horrible.
I got booed off stage. Mark Parenta. We won. Remember the Boston the competition.
Battle of the Bands or the
Comedy Riot.
Oh right.
Oh yeah.
Me and Dane and these two other guys, Aldo Benny, won as an improv group, right? Because Parento loved us. I think he loved Dane. I really think he had a thing for Dane.
No.
So they had us do the big show they did every year. BCN did a big show. They did it at the Palace. This year they did it at the Boston Garden, 14,000 people, the old one.
Wow.
Fish was the headlining band.
Jesus wow. Christ.
And the Spin Doctors were the co-headlining
wow.
band.
Wow.
They put us on in between those guys.
Ah, the perfect spot for comics.
To do improv comedy with 14,000 people. But we were so cocky. We were like, fucking yeah. We were on the 5 After 5.
Yeah.
This is going to be rocking. Our dressing room was the ladies' room, so the girls had to come in and piss. You know, there was all food and drink, and everybody was hanging out. We go out like fucking New Kids on the Block. We all had different colored shirts. And they thought we were a band. They thought we were like New Kids on the Block, like a fucking R&B.
Right, like a boy band.
Disco boy band. And then we start doing improv. But we had to hold mics. We didn't have lavaliers, so we really couldn't use our hands. They start going, sha-na-na-na, hey,
that's
hey.
A lot of people.
They're throwing
too.
Shoes, lighters, cups. I took my shirt off. I gave a Martin Luther King speech. I was like, we didn't come here to fucking fuck with you. Well, you know you came here to see the Spin Doctors. Wah, with a fish. Wah, rock and roll. Wah. I go, just give us three things that piss you off besides us. I was still trying to do the improv. And then they just started hucking fucking everything at us. And we got booed off stage.
That's a lot of people, too.
Yeah, it was a lot of people. And I got stuck. Feeling. These cocksuckers were supposed to meet me out front. They left me. I was out in front of the garden waiting for Dane and Al to come up. They left me. So I was out in front when it let out. So I'm on a payphone.
Oh, you're that guy.
And everybody walking by, that's the fucking guy. And they're fucking yelling shit at me. I called Dane. He's in bed. He's like, oh, we forgot. We forgot. They left me at the garden.
Oh, my God. You're lucky
there.
To be alive.
Oh, yeah.
People disappear from that garden all the time.
Remember the old garden?
Yes, we do.
How fucking awesome was that place?
We just learned how to skate.
Remember the top? You'd bang the fucking...
Absolutely.
Oh, God. The air conditioning
doors when the air conditioner wouldn't cool it off enough. They'd open the fucking doors. The big fog game.
Ice
famous fog games?
Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I did another gig up in New Hampshire. It was right up near Hampton Beach. I think it was Salisbury someplace. And they had a mechanical bull right near the stage. And it was a fucking biker bar. And I'm doing the show. And this broad gets up on the bull while I'm doing my act. And she gets thrown off the bull onto a table in front of the stage. The table flips up, the drinks go flying, a fight breaks out, and I think I said, start the car. So I go, you people have really sucked tonight. And I run out, and the guy who's running out with my money, he goes, when can you come back? I go, never.
I did a strip joint like that one time with Judy Tenuta and Stephen. Remember Stephen
Judy
Leo?
Tenuta.
Stephen Leo,
yeah. Wrote the movie The Santa Claus.
Yeah.
A wicked funny guy. But we did the guy, it was like $75. This is back in Chicago days. And I thought, $75 for one show? Well, I get there. What the agent didn't tell me was it's a strip joint. I wasn't told that. Not only that, it's male strippers tonight, and I'm hosting. But before the show, I got to bring up the strippers, like, you know, Billy the Fireman and fucking Bobo the Cowboy.
Yeah.
And they fucking, and they, I start to do comedy, and somebody hit me off the chest with a champagne cork. It was all women. And I couldn't get the word fucking twat out of my mouth enough. I fucking, with anyone within microphone reach, and one girl goes, I said something about her husband. And she said, my husband's dead. And it got kind of real silent.
Yeah.
And I went, did he commit suicide or did you fucking eat him, you fat fucking pig? And then they fucking hate him even more. And then I brought up Tenuta. I said, by the way, I'm done with my comedy. I'm just bringing you guys up. And the guy goes, hey, I got to go back to get the money for everybody. For some reason, it was me. And the guy's name was Vic or something. And he goes, I think I'm going to get killed and thrown in a dumpster because it's an obvious mob choice.
Yeah.
You know? And he goes, that was fantastic. I want you to be the house MC. I'll give you $300 a week under the table. I go, you know what? I really want to be a stand-up comic. And I'm like, 6 months later, the place burned to the ground. It was a brand new building. So, but that was horrible.
I did a mail strip. We were horse. We would work anywhere we could.
We didn't know any better. But, you know,
and people would offer us money, cash. And we go, yeah. And I drove up to this place up near the racetrack up near Rockingham.
Rockingham
and
Park.
It was the law. Lodge, I think it was. Male stripper night. I knew the head male stripper I went to high school with, Joey some fucking thing. He's a
Joey Hogman.
Magician or some shit now. But anyway, I go up there and I go, male strippers. I thought it was strippers. They said they're strippers, but they're male. And the place is filled with women. And I go up on stage and I say, hey, you know, I'm supposed to do some comedy. We get some, fuck you, show us your cock. You know, I'm going, hey, I got a note here.
It's out, he said.
I got a note here. It says, Carol, the babysitter, is saying, fuck him. You know, your baby's hurt. They didn't give a shit. And it was fucking
insane.
But
in those days, you'd do clubs that were set up right. And we weren't going to do the legwork. They'd go. We were like dominoes. Well, yeah, we'll send a couple comics up, and you wouldn't go check out the room. And you'd get there and you'd go, really? I remember I would drive up and look at the parking lot. I'd go, fuck it, I'm not even going in. There's all bikes out there. Really? It's nothing but fucking hogs parked outside. They're not going to laugh at me.
But there was nothing like. I mean, Nick's Comedy Stop.
Nick's was one of the best rooms in the country.
I mean, one of the. When that place was packed,
it was
unbelievable.
I've never seen. And I've watched, you know, all you guys, Sweeney,
Gavin.
Gavin. I mean. I've never seen anybody kill 500 people like that.
We did five shows there on a Saturday. You did three up and two down.
Yeah, but you know, there's something. The thing about Knicks that blew me away is they hired Skippy from Family Ties and gave him like 10 grand to come in, and he couldn't follow the opener, the middle of the fucking hell. He couldn't follow any of us.
I worked with him one time.
And we blew him off the stage. Yakov's from we blew him off the stage. I mean, poor Richard Lewis, who I become friends with later. I love Richard. He's great. Came in, and it was me, Sweeney, and Gavin, and he went on, and the fucking crowd hated him. And when he went back to his room at the 57, in between shows, he turned on Channel 4, and there's Joyce Cohawick saying, and Richard Lewis made a poor choice of coming to Boston. and he's watching this. He's going,
what happened was, because when I first got there, if you were off from out of town, you went on last. Right. So my first time at the Ding Ho, it was him, Barry Crimmins, Stephen Wright, Steve Sweeney, and probably Jack Gallagher, I think. And he comes up and he goes, you're the new guy? He says, yeah, he goes, you're on last. And I'm watching him going, oh my God, there's not a shitty guy on. You know, usually there'd be a couple of stiffs in the group. There was a guy, you go, oh, I'll follow him, good.
Yeah.
And I go, oh my God, and they're all killing. I'm going, I was a nervous wreck. I was a fucking wreck.
We had open mic night. And you would have Sweeney, Gavin,
4 hours.
Fucking him, Tony V, fucking every fucking Galway, good actor, Goldwaite, fucking Paula Poundstone, every fucking act you could imagine. And you come in as a fucking new guy, and you got a bag of grass, you're up next. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We would put on 35, 38 guys a night, guys and gals.
Yeah.
And we would go till 2 in the fucking morning. We'd start at 8, and it's sold out. And the same people would be there every fucking Wednesday night. Sold out show on a Wednesday night. You couldn't get in. And people would pay $50 to fucking get in. Couldn't get in. No seats.
$50 back then?
$50 back then. Yeah. Back then. Jesus. Oh, coke dealers and shit. We had people buy.
They had money.
They had
mostly fucking mine.
And it was. And
I bought a lot of people I paid to see Lenny's show off my cash.
No, it was fucking insane. And people would fight to get on a fucking plane. And, you know, they'd give me a list. I'd lose the fucking list. Okay, you're next.
I would come in. He'd go, when you want to go up? I go, let me see the list. I go, I hate this pick. Put me on before him.
Really?
I'd purposely do like 15.
And just burn it down. People. Burn it down. And the guy go up and eat it. I go,
Did you ever meet Frankie Bastille back in the, he was around.
Jesus.
Way and Skippy was in one time, and I'm closing all the shows. And this kid, he was getting like 10 grand. I'm making
10
like
grand.
$1.50 a set.
Right.
And finally, Saturday night, I said to the owner at Knicks, I go, I'm opening the second show. I want to go home. He goes, well, what do you mean? He can't follow you. I go, you want me to close the show? Pay me the dough. And I actually liked Skippy, his real name from Mark. He said, what did you want? He got kind of cocky. He goes, I'll close you. I don't have a problem. I go, okay. So I go up and I do 40. I'm supposed to do 20.
Right.
This is Knicks in the 80s on Saturday night. I own that fucking room. Bastille goes up and does 40 and then brings up Skippy. I'm in bed at 10:30 in the morning. Dominic Venturi was managing Knicks then. I pick up the phone. I go, hello. He goes, what you and Bastille did to that poor Skippy last night was cruel. I go, what happened? He goes, they were leaving. Entire tables were getting up all at once and leaving. They couldn't get out fast enough. I go, well, welcome. You want to run with the pack? You got to follow the big dogs once in a while.
And like you said, you know, you had Knicks upstairs, downstairs, jam. Yeah. You had the Comedy Connection in the jam. And then you had
Jokers jam.
Next door. And 500 seats jam. In one room. One fucking street, three. You could work till you dropped, you know, and if you weren't fucking good, we'd let you open, or we'd let you, you know, go.
We would bring guys in from town who weren't that funny, but they were just great guys to hang around with. And then there was the guys that were wickedly funny and amazing, Jonathan, who were also great guys to hang out with. And it was just a fucking party.
And if you were fucking great and we liked you, you ruled here. And people would fucking come here 2 or 3 times a year, you know, and they'd stay for fucking weeks.
When I came up, I mean, it was all you guys. You were gone. You were, you know, gone. You were around. You'd pop in every once in a while with your fucking,
you know, I had my Fu Man.
But, you know, you had that you know, that's the Viper. You know, when
you
walked in. You
know
in,
how insecure I was.
That's
they all
so
thought
funny.
I was crazy, and I was totally an insecure fucking drug addict. That's all I was.
But that's funny, too, because I walk into clubs now in the middle of the MC. I feel like they're being dicks to me, and I'm kind of like a dick back. But then they're like, no, we're big fans, and they're just nervous. And I'm like, I'm fucking nervous, too, dude.
Yeah. Exactly.
I know, because you care about what you're doing. I didn't care then, but I was always afraid I'd bomb. And it was all false. Well, it was all big fucking front.
They would go come up to you and go, all right, you got 5 minutes. And then Sweeney would walk in, or you'd walk in, or Vinny Favorito would walk in, and they'd just go up, and fucking level. Yeah. And your eyebrows are just up for like 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Just I haven't blinked in 20 minutes. I'm just watching, like, what the fuck?
Yeah, but you know what? Well, look how good you are now. Yeah, seriously. Yeah, I'm not being an asshole, because when I was working at Zany's, we did 2 shows to the same guy, one guy.
Right.
I thought Ricky Ude just passed away on Zany's. He goes, okay, if no one comes in, it was the last night of the World Series. Remember, this is Wednesday night. He goes, no one comes in, I'm going to pay you guys anyway. We're getting $125 a week, 2 shows a night, Tuesday to Sunday.
Yeah.
And we got beautiful, 8 o'clock, somebody pays the $250 cover and sits down. He goes, who's first? It was me, Capanera, maybe Emo. And we went up into the show. Now I had 20 minutes if they loved everything I said, including hello.
Right.
My material was gone in 4 minutes. This guy had such a good time. He repaid the cover and stayed for the second show. We had to go to the same guy and do another set. And I just brought up a bottle of Cuervo, and I said, I just said, what do you want to talk about? I was out of material 3 minutes into my last show. And I just sat on the stage and talked with him for 10 minutes.
But seriously, the precedent you guys set back in the day with that crazy, the way you guys, the community that you actually made of what comedy is in Boston, actually folded over to when I came up, when it boomed again. And, you know, you guys were still coming around. So I think it totally made us. I remember me and Dane talking, like, you had to fucking kill to survive.
Oh, God.
You had to kill.
Well, there was a reason for that, Bobby. One was you didn't want to bomb in front of your pals because they'd torture you.
Right,
fucking
absolutely.
Torture you. Oh, it was fucking horrible.
And it was secondly, more fun if he was bombing, I was having the most of my life. Oh,
and the crowds would fucking turn on you in a minute. You did that fucking joke last week because they were the same crowds. You right. know, no, no. And it was new shit night. If you did anything that you had done the week before, people would throw shit.
We had theme nights where you'd have to, you'd go, okay, lobsters. Everybody has to do 3 jokes about lobsters. You buy the house a drink.
See, you don't do that shit anymore.
And also it's like you said, there were guys that we liked who weren't that good but were great fucking guys.
Right.
And we would give them a choice shot. You know, we would put them on before, you know, they would put them on. So like him, you know, we put him on.
But Dennis.
What's his face?
Dennis.
What's the podcast.
We're doing a podcast.
We're trying to get people to come.
Everybody's got a podcast, that cocksucker. Fuck you.
What do you mean?
Fuck you. You motherfucker.
Smithsonian Institution inductee, ladies and gentlemen.
I hope you become a big star, and then you pull this shit on me.
What is that shit?
A podcast behind my fucking back.
We're not doing a podcast. You were sleeping.
You motherfucker.
You're supposed to be doing
you're
sound check.
You're supposed to be doing sound check and sleeping.
I did a fucking sound check.
Really? I'd do it. I would do another one.
Horrible. Horrible.
That's Dennis. Oh, that's Jesus. The boss.
Oh, my God.
Dennis Leary.
But I was talking. Where are you going? Can
Congratulations
you-
on your show, getting all the Emmy nods.
Oh, what? What show?
Louis.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not my show. I'm off
you're
it.
You're on it.
Nah, he fucking douched me off it. I'm
what?
Not on it.
What? No, he fired you?
Yeah, he was on Kimmel, and he said, he goes, yeah. They were asking him about the show, and he goes, yeah, I don't have the same thing. I had this guy, Bobby Kelly, hilarious, great job, great actor. He did like a bunch of shows last year, and now he's not in it.
What?
You know what? It's your attitude.
What? I didn't.
It's this fucking attitude.
Did you?
And you know what? They fucking fire you from everything. You were on the job, and we had to fucking fire you.
You didn't fire me. It was one show. I booked one.
Same thing as Louis. We turned each other. You know what?
How did you get fired from
Dubai? Because you fucking eat all the food. You're not supposed to eat all the food backstage.
I didn't eat anything.
Oh, fuck you.
I had one piece of salami.
It's all gone, you fucking whore. Hey,
we having pad thai?
We are. I believe we are.
See?
You
watch. All this food will be gone.
Well, that Lenny has...
We'll say, do we want Robert back? No, because we want some food for ourselves.
But the old days, it was Lenny. He had pockets full of hams.
You're ruining your fucking show business career because of your fucking food addiction. You motherfucker. Even your wife the other night mentioned something about this.
She said to me,
I wish he'd get back on the heroin. That's what she said to me.
I married him. I thought he was going to be a star, but nobody wants to work with him because he eats all the food.
Said, Lenny, could you hide the candy?
Is he eating the food on the floor? Of course he is. He can't stop. Fucking asshole. DePaulo will be back on Louis. You know why? He only eats one sandwich.
It's a budgetary, not just a dietary.
That, of course, was Dennis Leary. He seemed a little upset.
Maybe
we should have tried to run this podcast by him.
He was sleeping. But you know, getting back to what we're talking about, never mind the famous guy. I wish I'd known that we were a part of something that was so huge, because it didn't really dawn on me until 20 years later. There was like an amazing thing going on in Boston. Comedy everywhere in the country, but Boston was like, there was just this entire group of really, really funny, all different style comics that hung out together.
And everyone came here. Everyone came.
Everybody wanted to come to Boston. I still get people going, you know, that's the one town I never got into. I go, we couldn't get everybody in.
Yeah.
I mean, I beat people on the road. Can you get me into Boston? If I could, I would. I mean,
but it's not like, it's gone.
It's gone.
It's never coming back.
There are
people still going, well, remember the old days? They go, yeah, they're gone.
They're gone. We had a reunion show a few years back, the Ding Home Reunion at the David Square and Somerville Theater. And I got to tell you, Bobby, it was fucking fantastic to have everyone back. And you just looked at all the people and said, oh my God. You know,
like the waitresses from the Ding Ho came back. My God.
Yeah.
I don't want to. I fucked her?
Yeah. That's what you'd say. You'd go, wow. I guess I got her when she was good.
Yeah. But why do you think it's gone? What do you think happened?
We burned it out. And I'll tell you what my personal opinion is it got to be too thin. You had clubs, you had satellite clubs all around the city, plus the ones downtown. Okay. And then 7 nights a week, stand-up comedy was on television. You had the improv. You had stand-up, whatever. There's like 30 of them I did. We all did them. And people just got... I remember someone coming in Atlanta go, well, this is real different on live. I go, yeah, you can leave your house. You don't have to watch it on TV. Yeah, and that became what stand-up was, 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was people... If someone could get 5 minutes, like 5 minutes you could get on fucking Leno or shit or Carson. Well, Carson was gone by then, but I mean, it just the TV, you know, it just killed it. It killed the life, you know. Right. I mean, everyone was evening
and also that whole 80s thing kind of
came and people to a crashing grew up. We all jumped out of the plane, some of us didn't pull the chute. A lot of people died.
Clubs now, a lot of people like comics,
dead, like not having a bad show.
A friend of ours got murdered dealing coke. Yeah. We were doing coke at his funeral. That's how fucking into the deep the coke I was into.
And the last calls were from me and him, and we got investigated by the police. You know, says, "Hey, man,
I know, because I was in his book.
It was bad. But
he was a dear friend of mine.
We loved the guy. We loved him. He was a good guy. You know.
But now you guys are
scrambling like a motherfucker.
Oh, I don't know if I got a shit together, but I'm not drinking a drug.
But I mean, you guys are at a point now, and look, you know, and the older I've been doing it for a while too. Like 20 years or so, coming up on 20. And it's actually, I enjoy it now more.
Yeah.
Like you were saying. Because now, we're happy.
It's about the craft now rather than just getting the blow and getting blown.
It's still about getting blown, but this is fast. This is fun.
I got to meet someone who's really mad at her father.
This is fun. Well, I just say, hey, you want to really piss off your husband or boyfriend? Fuck me. And the thing right now, it's so much fun. Plus, it's just one show. And I remember it. You know what I mean? I don't remember the show, but I remember the fun we had, like, you know, and the travel. And like the fact that this tour is ending tonight, this sucks, you know, because... Because
it's back to the real world for me tomorrow. Tomorrow it's like, okay, back to
the Matrix. It's out of the Matrix.
Yeah.
But like Dennis, I mean, I've done tours before, and this tour, like I said to my wife the other night, when I came home, I was like, you know, first of all, I'm working with Dennis and you guys. It's like... I'm just happy. I'm just excited to be here. I'm a fan. I haven't been a fan on a show because I'm usually with guys I know. But then, you know, of course I'm fans, but I'm walking around just smiling
yeah,
and
we're
listening.
Fans of yours, so. And yeah, we make us laugh make and us you're fun to fucking hang around with.
You're very
otherwise,
fucking
we wouldn't
fun.
Be doing this podcast.
You're very funny. The only reason that you probably didn't end up in a jail cell with us is you're young.
That's you're right. Young. Well, we could, yeah, we missed one.
Yeah.
Well, the thing that's great about this tour, though, like I said to my wife, is like Dennis. It's crazy that he actually brings his friends,
yep.
a band, all his people that he knows on tour, pays everybody.
Five star. I mean,
five star, top shelf.
I mean
you don't have to worry. It's not like you have to think about it. It's no. like, yep.
All you have to do is show up the first day. Right. Hold on and ride it out.
And then he gives all the money, the money to a charity.
Charity, yeah.
So he's doing this.
Yeah, he's doing this to make his friends happy.
Yeah.
And we were pissed. He said, what? No tour bus? No going out west? No Vegas? Yeah. No New Orleans? No no Dubai? What kind
can't
of shit
you give
is
up
this?
Your movie career for us?
What? You have to spend time with your family that much?
Yes, come on. I've been living for this all year.
Oh, yeah. But it's pretty fucking amazing. And look, Dane did the same thing with me last year. And, you know, it was great. It was fucking awesome. We did all the big shows and I had a blast. But there was something, you know, this one was a little different for me. And my wife said it. So this is like... You're working with, you know, these guys that are fucking you've looked up to and heard about and know about, and now all of a sudden you're doing a show with them, and it's very adult too. I mean, it's the backstage is very fun and friendly.
Yeah,
and,
well, it's kind of like the old days where the headliner was the host. Like Dennis is really the host of the show
and
brings along the people he loves and his friends. You know, and,
it's like music and singing, music and he does fun. His stuff and he brings you out and. And he's a mensch.
If people really knew what he was like, he wouldn't be where he is. Because he's the sweetest guy in the world. He donates so much of the money to charities, and he takes care of his friends. I mean, you know, like,
absolutely.
You know, people say, oh, 9 o'clock is Dennis Levy's butt boy. And I go, you know, walking around my mansion the other day in Martha's Vineyard, looking out of my 6 acres over the ocean, I go, his dick doesn't taste that bad.
Yeah, that's what people say to me, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gee.
I always say to Lenny, you know, I could have been Ray Romano's best friend.
Look,
well, someone said that I jumped from Dane's coattails to Dennis. I was like, those are fucking two great coattails.
Listen, if you have someone that's willing to help you out, what are you going to say? Right. No, fuck you.
Well, that's what the business should be about.
Well, it is. If you're in with the right people, they all have their friends.
Right. Adam Sandler,
all the guys, Michael McKean, and all those guys.
Stella and that crew. I mean, it's all groups of friends.
Right.
Because you know you can trust them, and you know they're funny, and they're not going to be a pain in the
ass. You know, I threatened a few people, the wrong groups, but, you know, it was.
You have?
Oh, yeah. That's why, you know, I might have limited friends now. But the point is, it was, you know, I can't thank him enough for, you know, his friendship and, you know, put me in the shows and the movies and everything. And I mean, and hey, look, I'm grateful. But, you know, I take a bullet for the guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know,
he's one of the people.
But I didn't help him out thinking he was going to, I didn't think he was going to be a big star.
You didn't think Dennis was going to be?
No, I never saw it coming.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't. He was funny, but I didn't know he was that funny. I didn't know he was the fucking genius.
Well, you know what it was.
As far as writing, producing, directing. Right. I had no, it's like you said, when you were with Dane. Dane was your buddy. He's Dane. Dennis, to me, is fucking Dennis. He's Dennis.
But also, at that time, he was like out doing stuff to further his career, and I was just trying to find the cocaine guy. I didn't know he was going up and doing commercials.
Dennis is a fucking brilliant cat.
Right.
We were the Chaos Brothers. We were just
right. Yeah.
I'm Bummer,
and I'm Nightmare,
and we are the Chaos Brothers, and we were just fucking crazy. Yeah.
And we would do that on stage.
Yeah. People would enjoy
us,
but we were nuts.
Songs we made up.
Yeah. Horrible songs. So we can't even do on the podcast. That bad.
You can do anything you want.
No.
Let's do a little Hi Neighbor.
Hi neighbor, how's your fucking cunt? How's your fucking cunt?
We would sing that on stage.
And people would fucking
appalled,
and then throw shit. I mean, and then as we all started getting bigger and more successful, we all started traveling, and you know, we'd all be headlining at different parts of the country. We'd go months without seeing each other, and then, like you said, the cable TV came on and all the shows, and it just tell. And it will never, ever be
and
like
I don't, was. And I'm not that upset about it because I really don't remember much of it. So this is much more fun for me now. You know, I wouldn't. We wouldn't be hanging out here 20 years ago because I'd have been high. And I go, how long does the podcast last?
Yeah.
You don't have podcasts. Like,
and we...
true. How long is this telegraph going to take?
How do you type content?
Now, what are we looking...
Dash.
What are we looking so that they get a good side? I mean, this is all like space age shit to us. You know, we're like cave people, but we had fun. And, you know,
it's more fun now.
It is more fun now.
There's a lot of things. We lost friends. We lost, you know, I lost the woman I should have been married to. But, you know.
No shit.
Susan, if you're listening, Susan, if you're listening, call us.
Yeah, she was a triathlete and I was a coke addict.
She was gorgeous. Beautiful.
She was beautiful.
Well, I was actually, I almost lost my wife now.
Yeah.
Around 5 years ago. You know, because I didn't drink a drug, but, you know, the underlying causes. I got sober young, but when I got into comedy, I found, you know, the pussy and the excitement. The excitement. It doesn't, you know, food. That's why I go up and down.
Absolutely.
I've been up and down my whole life, too. I've been 280. I've been fucking 185.
I saw pictures of you fucking drop dead gorgeous.
Yeah.
Gay people would love you.
Yeah. I was fucking gay people did
women would love you. Every woman would love you. Yeah. Transsexuals with large carbon footprints would be attracted to you.
Now I have to pay for those.
Oh, well. Right. But,
and the price of a hermaphrodite has gone through the roof, by the way.
Well, it's double. You know, like, I almost lost all my chick, too. And it got to the point where I was like, all right, am I going to go this way? Or am I going to go that? Am I just... And everybody kept saying, dude, you're this, you're that. Just be a guy. You're a guy. Fucking let her go. She's a nice girl. You can't change. You are what you are.
No. Yeah, I'm lucky to have her. She's
you know what I mean?
Beautiful, and she's with you, and you should do what you can to hang on to her. Because I look back, and that's what I would change. Because
fortunately for me, all the women I lost, thank God. But the one I got now,
the one you got now is a good one.
I'm glad I have a great wife, and that's why I work. You know, I mean, I work and just try to work on the marriage. You'll go home, spend time at home after the tour. I'll go home for a while, and I wouldn't change anything now. I'd change everything before.
Yeah,
like he said, you know, people say, "Well, yeah, I wouldn't change anything." I was an idiot. I didn't know. You know, and when we see young comics, you know, if I see a young comic's great and he's getting a little whacked out, I go, you know, there's an easier way. You know, you don't have to do.
You know, all the people I admired were dead.
Yeah,
you know, Hendrix and John Belushi
that guy, the tall guy,
the tall guy. That other guy. No, but all my heroes.
Dennis did all this crazy shit too.
He didn't, but you know what? He was one of the people who could go, okay, I'm done with that now.
He was the last guy staying, the first guy to work. Yeah, I mean, he didn't let it affect his work.
Really?
Yeah.
I, on the other hand, have the record for missing 4 shows and being in the building.
I did blow on stage and told him it was stunt coke.
No, you didn't. You brought people up on stage. One time, the dingo, he goes, "What's your name? Tommy? You like coke, Tommy? Come on, take the chair up here." He goes, he throws the gram there, "Make 2 lines, one for me, one for you." And I'm watching going, "Oh, we're all going to jail tonight." And I'd be sitting off the side snorting so like the audience couldn't see me.
Yeah.
You guys are so fucking happy now.
Oh yeah.
And you're so happy with Dennis.
You guys love him. Love
Dennis. Have you guys ever fought? Have you ever got to like a fuck you? Like, me and Dane have fought. Me and Dane have gotten each other, like, you know.
Well, Dennis and I had a fight yesterday when he got inducted into the Smithsonian Institute.
Right.
Over which was more important, Buster Keaton's bike or Lance Armstrong's 7-time fucking Tour de France winner. And I'm going, I was all over Lance's bike, and he was so enamored with Buster Keaton. I almost fucking smashed Buster Keaton.
Well,
make a point. And they're going, "No, don't touch the bikes." And I'm going, "Shut up." And we're yelling at each other. And they didn't, they flipped out. Smithsonian, they're all up.
Well, that's what they're thinking about
fuck
us.
You.
They always think that, like, even the first tour we went on, we're playing tennis. We're on opposite sides of the net. And we're screaming at each other. I mean, horrible, as mean as you can think of to say to someone, we'd say. And then go, "Well, you guys really get worked up." We go, "No, we're not." That's part of the fun for us.
They stop at you two. Fuck you. We both go, "Fuck you."
People think we're really mad at each other. I don't think we've ever been really mad at each other at anything.
No.
Because we're both too fucking insane to go, why is that, you know, what's that going to
be? Well, for a minute I saw him.
You guys never fought?
No.
Never.
For a minute I saw him on stage. I went,
I would have to calm him down sometimes. He would get mad because you have to stop yelling now because, you know, we have
felonies. That was the one time he did 5 minutes too long in Martha's Vineyard. Ruined the whole show.
The hot tin roof?
Yeah. You heard about it. Yeah.
5 years. The one show in 30 years. He still brings it up. Remember that you ruined that show that night? You went on 5 minutes
over. 5 minutes too long. We brought it to a
show. No, but it was never anything like, you know, he's much more successful. wrestling me, but I'm much funnier.
Oh, right, without, right, a doubt. Yeah. Without a doubt.
He has way more money.
Right. But
the funny thing is, my mother loved him. My mother went to church every Sunday. This is a true story. And I bring her to the ding-ho. I wear a three-piece suit. I don't even say the word damn because my mother's in the audience. This one goes, cocksucker, motherfucker. The whole ride back, I'm riding back with my parents to Connecticut. Now she goes, that Lenny Clark is so funny. I go, you're kidding me.
Funny
job. I cleaned my whole act up for you and you're laughing at his cocksucking
and Kenny,
jokes.
And Kenny, of course, and Kenny, of course, killed my mother. Killed the dead. Yeah. Her last words were, where's Kenny? My mother loved Kenny.
I was her favorite. She goes, Leonard, yeah, you're very, very funny, but your friend Kenny is much funnier than you.
Much funnier. Oh, Leonard, you know I love you, but he is so much more funny.
Did you guys, now when Dennis went away to Europe.
Yeah.
Well, you guys, and then he
we were so high, we didn't know.
I didn't know he was a junior. And I didn't, you know, Dennis was like the next, like I was a senior, he was a junior type thing, so right. I didn't really know him. I got to know him more in the last 2 years than I ever knew him back in the
80s.
I mean, we played golf, we had cocktails together, but I was wild, I ran wild. I mean, well, I was fucking high, what Dennis 24/7. Did was,
Dennis went, blew up, became giant, and came back for us.
Yeah.
He came back for us.
Really?
You know what I mean? I shot off.
He's like the guy. We were on the Titanic, and he actually rode the boat back, even though it was full.
Yeah, he
and
came
put
back.
Two more guys in the fucking
No comic left behind. He was. I mean, I went meteoric. I mean, I had a fucking cruise missile to the top. I mean, $1 million checks, the whole fucking thing, mansions. Yeah.
Why did you pay me so little on your fucking show then?
That was basic
cable.
That
was Fox.
That's like
it's a brand
cable.
New network.
Yeah, see, they didn't have it back then. But
now I am angry.
Yeah, no, that was a different show. But no, I'm talking Lenny. On CBS. You know, everything just disintegrated.
But you also spent like a fucking wild man.
Yeah, I did.
You had that $1 million high. I went down to see him. $3 million?
Yeah.
I went down to see him. I was down living down in Marina, and I hadn't been out to his house yet. And I go, what do you got, the top floor? He goes, no, the whole thing. I go, this entire house is yours? He goes, yeah. I go, what are you, fucking nuts? You don't buy a house like this. Your show's run 10 years. What are you, Bill Cosby? And he brings me in his wife. I won't say her name, the cunt. Mrs. C, we always called her. He walks in and goes, look at these rugs. These are $6,000 Persian rugs. I go, well, of course, because as long as I've known you, you've always been a huge rug person. Well, he goes, shut up. It keeps her quiet. I go, whatever you have to say.
I had bought those cartoon cells, which Kenny referred to as my cartoon Picassos.
Yeah.
But they were worth fucking
lots of money. But I go, really? It's Mickey's arm. What the fuck? Yeah. Who the fuck cares?
Yeah, it was crazy.
Do you still have
it? His wife got everything.
I lost everything.
She took it all.
Oh, everything. Everything.
She was like a fucking succubus. She just drained them at
let
night.
And then she's like a nice person. She's a nice person.
You can say whatever the fuck you want because you want people to think,
we've made our peace. You know, it's
well, now I see you didn't like my girlfriend. I'll carry the grudge.
I hate that fucking bitch. That fucking old whore. Jean was her name. I fucking hated her. Jean. We all hated Jean. Ran off with a biker. She's a bitch.
If it wasn't for her, I wouldn't have gotten sober. So you got to love her for that. Otherwise, I'd be in your fucking house still doing blow, and you'd be going, how many people are in that room down there?
Well, that's true.
I would stay at his house in the vineyard, I'd be up all night doing blow, and I would be alone, so I would be doing characters and talking.
We had an old guy, we had an old guy, said, hey,
Iggy, he was
Rogers, and he goes, our bookie, he goes, he's crazy. He's got a party in there. I said, no, he's in there by himself. Are you shitting me? There's going to be 30 people in that fucking room.
I'm talking to myself.
I'd make all different voices.
Yeah, you know, you do something when you're all choked up by yourself.
You'd swear he wasn't all. He had a full room in there. But
what do you guys want to do now?
I want to back on TV.
You got a show.
Unfortunately,
he's got a show. He's got 13 weeks to get me on it.
13, that's the deal?
That's the deal. He's another one. He came back for me because he put me on it. I never got on Lenny because it wasn't on long enough, but he got me on the fucking...
Sunday Comics.
As a head writer. And I also did film pieces. And then he got me on...
All Relative.
It's All Relative, which he worked with John Benjamin Hickey, which he was a fucking tremendous
And Leary
actor.
Put you on Rescue Me.
Leary put me on Rescue Me. Didn't have to read for it. Just come... Learn the lines and come down and do it. And I crashed that motorcycle twice. They had a big hog.
I had him set up to do the winner, but that got canceled.
Let me tell the story. He calls me up one day, and I've known him so long. I hear a voice in the back, and I know by his voice something's going on. He goes, let me ask you a question. I go, what's up? He goes, do you have a motorcycle license? I go, I don't know. Do I? And I hear him go, yeah, he's got a license. He goes, okay, you're going to play a biker on Dennis's show on the Rescue Me. I go, okay. I've ridden the bike once in high school, 250 dirt bike, and I was stoned.
Right.
That's my They got an electric glide with running boards and a windshield. This thing weighs like 1,300 pounds.
Right.
It was like something out of Laughing. I fired the thing up, and I'd gone up with my friend Jimmy Dunn, and we'd gone up the coast of Vermont, New Hampshire one day on a couple of bikes we rented. You know, so I had some riding experience, but not this big motherfucker. And I drove it 6 feet and dumped it.
Really?
And they had to get four people to pick it up. I drive down the street. They're supposed to be stopping traffic. I see a car, and it's not like a bicycle. You can't just lean and cut the wheel. Dumped it again. And the biker like, I thought you know how to ride a bike. I said, I never said I could turn a bike. I said, straight line, I'm perfect. But I did. Dennis put me on the show, and it was a big part. I had a lot of lines. And
he went from, this was crazy to me. He had the job.
Yeah.
Awesome show.
Oh, yep.
I fucking love the job.
Me too.
And I did a spot
on
it.
You played the hotel manager.
The hotel, Spanish Cuban hotel manager. That's all the roles I ever booked, by the way.
And it was so good. No, you were so good. I didn't remember that because I thought it's not you. You know what I mean?
Right.
You
had hair.
Such an acting job.
That's what I was
but you were fucking, you were great. You know?
Yeah. And then, but I remember the whole cast, he pretty much took the cast from the job and put them over on Rescue Me.
Oh, yeah. He took the whole crew, that entire crew.
That's crazy.
That was, he kept his crew together. I mean, Dennis is a fucking loyal friend.
Yeah.
And if you can do the
you
job.
Think I'm fucked because I didn't ask him to do the part. I'm done.
There you go. You gotta ask. He forgets, you know. But he took the whole cast, crew. I mean, he's always like that, you know.
Right.
You know? And he's a giver. The fucking guy's great. I love him.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's helped me out. This is the most fun I ever have, this fucking tour. It's just so, I look forward to this every last. Tell me.
And we're glad to have you on board.
That's exactly.
It's too bad it's ended tonight. You know?
Yeah.
Because I mean, got the chance to be totally crazy.
Oh, you should see it when we go away.
I'll tell you what, the most fun on the bus. People say, isn't it horrible? I go, it's a $3.5 million bus.
We're on
you have your own berth. I'm on insomniac. I sleep like a baby on that bus.
You laugh so hard. You laugh so hard on that bus that you go to bed crying. You just go, I got to go. I got
to
go to bed.
And you don't want to go to bed if somebody else is up in the front cabin because you don't want to miss anything.
Yeah, we took a bus with the tourgasm thing.
Yeah.
Me and it was, but the only thing that sucked is that, you know, Dane was my friend. Garrett, but I wasn't friends with everybody.
Right.
He took like three other, he took guys that were all different. We weren't all friends,
right.
Which sucked.
Well, you know, and you also got Dennis's band, who are all wickedly funny people.
They're really cool.
All of them great musicians.
And he's known all them for 30 years.
Oh, yeah.
He went to college with them.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So that's what makes it fun. It's like a big family, and why wouldn't you want to do that?
Yeah, this tour, there's something about, I mean, I've done a lot of tours. I've done a bunch of tours with other comics and stuff, and they're all fun. It's so, I wish that as comics, we didn't have to headline. We could just do this. We could go into a theater with your friends. Everybody makes a good chunk of change, and we just have fun. Right. One show. Blast it out. Instead of this, six shows by yourself, comics you don't know.
Right.
Fucking.
Who aren't funny off stage, and they're no fun to hang out with.
Yeah, it's like, this is how comedy should be.
Yeah.
This is how the greatest thing ever. And this tour is like, for me, especially to be with you guys, I mean.
Well, back at you.
We're glad to have you with us, man.
But I'm usually yapping and fucking shooting, but I'm just sitting here like, fucking holy shit.
You know, we're not.
There are sometimes when he gets going, I just have to fade back into the wall and just let him go because he's wound up.
Yeah, well, it's fucking great for me, and I'm so psyched you guys did this for me, man.
Well,
I appreciate it.
This has made the tour even better doing this podcast.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah, no one's going to hear this, right?
We can edit you right, don't we?
There's around 20,000 people.
Fantastic.
More than have seen me in the last 10 years.
This is Lenny Clark on something.
You know what, dude?
Oh, this is Lenny Clark, and you know what, dude? With Bobby Kelly at gloryhole.com, and it's been a pleasure being with you, and Glory Hole Radio.
And you guys you guys have anything to plug? Anything?
No, I have nothing going on.
Nothing?
This is it. Why do you think I'm so depressed? It's the last waltz for me, man.
Get
Marty Scorsese to film this. It's the last waltz.
Well, you got 13 weeks because this is his show.
I'll be at Giggles tomorrow night.
I don't have a job for
Giggles
2 weeks.
With your brother Mike
Clark.
And
then
I will be at Giggles
awesome.
At the end of the month, and I'm doing some country club. That's it.
I'm going to be at Otto and George, and Bill Belichick's coming in to see the puppet.
Really?
Sunday night, yeah.
Oh, no, Jesus.
Where was that? Is that the vineyard?
That's a vineyard, yeah.
That's hilarious.
You don't invite me down there anymore.
When you first moved,
I was down all the time fishing.
You're coming down next month. I'm bringing the puppet. I'm bringing Joe Otto and
George.
You're
bringing a puppet. You don't invite me? You're going to bring a fake thing, but you don't invite me to go.
You can come to my house. You can stay at my house and not work.
I'm not sharing a room with the puppet. I don't even know.
You don't get it. If you didn't do that 5 minutes over down at the vineyard fucking 8 years ago.
I had to because they were tired of you, my friend.
All right, so I think you're just going to keep going. I'm just going to wrap this up.
That's no, Bobby.
Please, please fight. No. Please keep it going. I just want to wrap it up as you
fucking
guys argue.
Asshole.
Yeah, but you know,
and thank you for listening.
You got 13
to this
weeks to get
podcast.
Me on that fucking new show.
Well, listen, why don't you call him another episode? Why don't you call him another episode? He's got to show another channel. I could
on gloryholeradio.com.
I chose you.
I don't know why you act like this.
Lenny Clark.
Let me down every
time. Kenny Rogerson and Dennis Leary made it there. So
put your pants on and let's go eat.
All right.
Thanks again for listening to another episode of You Know What Dude podcast on gloryholeradio.com. And make sure to check out all the other shows on the Glory Hole Network. If you're using the Stitcher app, type in the word fart when you register. iTunes users, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. If you're a real fan of the show and you want to show your support, go to gloryholeradio.com/Robert Kelly and hit the donate button. $10 will get you a shout out on the air. $20 will get you my first CD, Robert Kelly Live, not available in stores. If you have any questions, email me at robertkelly@gloryholeradio.com.